because the Lord says, my plan will not be frustrated by friendly fire and hits. The only way it'll get frustrated is if you drop out, if you drop your spirit, you say that's it and backslide and say, well, it's because of them that I'm no longer under the shadow of the cross. No, you can't do that. You just gotta outlive them. You just gotta outlast them. Whatever the critics might say, just outlast them. Because sooner or later, they'll go away and you'll stay there.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. If you're facing a time where you feel like you're being misunderstood, if people are criticizing you unfairly, today's message will be an encouragement to you. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Faith Under Friendly Fire.
They called it friendly fire in Vietnam, where 6,000 were either killed or wounded, not due to enemy fire, but our own errant coordinates or wrong data given to the air strikes when they would drop their payload. It was our own guys running from our own bombs. Now, it wasn't necessarily intentional, but that happens. That happens not only in war, but that happens almost every day in life. We find that happening because of relationships. Often I'll fly on an airplane and I'll happen to be sitting next to a businessman and a conversation will strike up and I'll say, hey, what do you do? And it's like this most recent one. He said, well, I repair engines on jets and et cetera. So I just go from airport to airport. So, oh, right. And then we talk, where are you from, et cetera. And then they'll ask me, what do you do? And I think, uh-oh, I got to tell them now. And I say, I'm a minister. A what? A pastor, a minister. All of a sudden, they take their earphones and put them on, you know. But then slowly they'll take it off and they'll say, you know, I used to go to church. Really? I would say, what happened? Well, and how often, I can't tell you how often, the times would be when they would say, it's because someone who called themselves a Christian said this, did this, broke this expectation, did something. But I can't tell you the amount of times people actually leave, not of the enemy, but because of friendly fire. People that are right near to them. Now, it wasn't only them. Jesus felt the same way too. It was in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, where David, writing about himself, is actually prophesying about Jesus. Let's read this together at the top of our notes and see that he's gone through this before us. And if we're going to have an everyday faith, we need to be able to withstand some of those hits and make it through. Because as your faith gets out into the public, you're going to have people stepping on your toes, saying things that are errant missiles. How are you going to respond? Let's hear what it said about the Lord in this prophetic verse in Psalm 55. Let's read it. Ready? Go. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together and walked in the house of God. You ever feel like that? That when you get hit, you think at that time, what a painful thing this is. And we get upset when there is someone who is close to you that betrays you. And we say, oh, that makes me so upset. And we want to just kind of drop out. And many times people do. They just kind of drop out. At the time something's happening, it feels horrible. But you know, isn't it true later on you look back and you see how God used that in your life to strengthen you? When was it the times where I grew the most? It wasn't at the top of a mountain, it was in the valleys. When was it that I was really drawn close to God? It wasn't when everything was peaches and cream. It was when I was struggling and hurting about something. And sometimes I look back and I think, oh God, thank you for not allowing that to destroy me, but using it to build me. And I look back on it now, I can laugh. Then I couldn't, but now I can. I'm so thankful that in those times when I say, oh God, and I make wrong prayers, you know, get rid of that guy or whatever he did, you know, burn his eyeballs out, shrink his brain. I have all these prayers. I'm so glad God doesn't answer all of our prayers. I remember in the 12th grade, I saw the most beautiful lady in my life in the 12th grade. I said, oh God, I prayed, God, help me to marry her. I saw her at the 25th reunion. I'm so glad God didn't answer my prayer. But God, you had some of those too, huh? But God knows what's best. And I want you to know this. All of us are inevitably going to be hit with friendly fire. Every single one of us. And that's just going to be a part of an everyday faith. You've got to understand that. So don't make it like some strange thing has hit you. Every single one of us will go through that. But let me give you three quick principles this morning that will help sustain you through the currents. Number one, please remember this and write it in. Friendly fire will never frustrate the plan of God for your life. Hear me. The friendly fire will not frustrate the plan of God. God's will for you, God's plan for you, His destiny. If you'll stay near under the shadow of the cross and walk with Him, friendly fire will not destroy what God has for your life. It didn't with Him, and it won't with you, nor with me. We find here in the book of Romans 8:2, He speaks about this, and let's read it together out of the Living Bible. Ready? Go. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. He's saying that what He did on the cross through Christ Jesus has freed us from the power of sin that leads to death. Here's what He's saying. He's saying because He won over sin, not only your sin, but sins against you, sin, period, whether it emanates from you or it ends up at you, the Lord says on the cross, I have overcome the power of that. And so even friendly fire, when someone's mistakes, someone's errant missile, someone's errant words hit your life, even though it's close, close range, close proximity, the Lord says, no, no, I have already overcome the power of sin. And you need to stay under the shadow of the cross, for my plan will not be frustrated by friendly fire. Joseph, as we look at the Bible and see how replete in the history of the Word of God, how many examples there are of this. Joseph was not sold into slavery by an enemy marauding band of traitors. No, Joseph was sold into slavery by his own what? Brothers. But did that frustrate God's plan? No. You see, God was not thwarted in bringing Joseph to power and saving a whole nation from starvation. Moses was rejected by his own brethren who refused to have Moses rule over them and exiled him to the desert. But God still brought him back, and the very purpose God had for him came to pass as He took a whole nation into the promised land. Samson. Samson's strength was unconquerable by the Philistines, yet he was defeated by the very one he had fallen in love with. But still, at the end of his life, he did what God had asked him to do with the Philistines. David. David could stop armies and conquer kings, but it was his own son, Absalom, his own son who drove him from the city of Jerusalem and stole the throne. But still today, David is known as, besides the Lord, the Messiah, he is known as Israel's greatest king. And Jesus Himself. He was put on the cross not by the strength of a Roman army, but by the betraying kiss of one of His very own disciples. But yet He could say at the end, it is finished. You see, God's plan was not thwarted by enemy fire or friendly fire. By people that were close to Him. It wasn't thwarted, wasn't in any way frustrated. And when Jesus said, it is finished, in the Aramaic, it's the word tetelestai. What that means is, that's a banker's stamp. When you paid your bill in full and they stamp it, leaving an impression there, an ink, and it says paid in full, that's the same phrase that Jesus used from the cross. When it says, it is finished, it says, He said, tetelestai. To tell us that it is finished. So the first is this, that God's plan will never be frustrated by friendly fire. Some of you are here and you think, well, my divorce has just completely ruined me. Or you might say, I wouldn't be in this mess if my own family had not built me out of my own inheritance. Some of you are here and you'd say, you know, if my parents helped me, just helped me a little bit to go to college, then I wouldn't be where I am. I'd be further ahead. Someone else might say, if I would have just married him instead of being rejected, I'd be happier today. Some of you might say, if I wouldn't have married him, I'd be happier today. When Anna and I went to Hilo, we had two very close friends that actually came with us, moved with us to support the beginning of this church. And about a year later, out of just a fit of anger, something they didn't like, both of them just bailed out and went to another church right down the road and began to speak poorly about the leadership, myself. And it just tore my heart out because they were close friends and they had actually come over to Hilo with us. But through the tears, I remember a season God used to build a depth of courage in me, to build a bondedness with me and the Lord. It drove me back to my knees. And that kind of courage and depth would be unparalleled and unachieved in any classroom of schooling. When I came to Honolulu, over a dozen pastors let me know very succinctly that they did not appreciate me coming and starting a church. Met with me and let me know. And they said, especially building a church on your personality, just you. It's like you're the king of this thing. Well, I'm sure they saw something that wasn't really there, but they saw something that I was communicating that I didn't want to communicate. And I remember going back and just crying and saying, God, that's not my heart, never been my heart. But Lord, I must be communicating something that they're seeing. Even though it's misunderstood, I've got to watch what I communicate. Somehow, Lord, I'm doing it incorrectly. But Lord, it's not built on one personality. I might be the one beating the drum, but that drum beat is in thousands of people's hearts. And when they hear that, they say, that's my song. That's my rhythm. That's my drum beat. And it's not me making it. It's yours, Lord. And all I'm doing is hitting this drum. That's my role. And then the people whose same heartbeat is for that kind of church, that kind of ministry, that kind of purpose in life, that kind of vision for Hawaii start to gather together. It's really, we do this as a team, Lord, because you've called all of us, not just me, all of us together with that same kind of heart. Lord, we've got to do church as a team, don't we? Because that's our heart in New Hope. And then that phrase came about, doing church as a team, which launched into a book. And the book started doing pretty well out there. And then now royalties are coming in. So if you haven't bought that book, please buy that because that'll really help. But here's the cool thing. Royalties off of that book or the purchase by purchasing that book has come in. And that's how we began New Hope International. That has helped sponsor young pastors to go and plant churches. That's how we scholarship them from that book. So what started off in a valley in a hard, dark night of the soul is now that which God has used to birth churches. It's amazing. In fact, one of the singers today, the praise singers in New Hope, is one of the young ladies training to be a front lines director, music director. And she's being sponsored by that which began with that book, which you rewind it back from Friendly Fire that caused God to be able to do something wonderful. You see, God's plan will not be frustrated by Friendly Fire. There's only one way it will be, and here it is, and listen to me very carefully. Only one way, and that is this. Not by getting hit, no. It's by you dropping out and quitting. You can't quit. You got to stay in there. Because the Lord says, my plan will not be frustrated by friendly fire and hits. No, no, I've overcome the power of people's mistakes in your life. The only way it'll get frustrated is if you drop out. If you drop your spirit, you say that's it and backslide and say, well, it's because of them that I'm no longer under the shadow of the cross. No, you can't do that. You just got to outlive them. You just got to outlast them. Whatever the critics might say, just outlast them. Because sooner or later, they'll go away and you'll stay there. It's like the Lord says, I've already overcome sin. So it's like God says, I've knocked the ball out of the park. It's a home run. Everybody says, yes, we won. But God says, before that home run is validated, you have to what? Yeah, you got to touch the bases. So the Lord is saying, would you go and touch the bases? Go ahead. Because if you miss and you don't, then even though the home run is completely done, it will not be validated. So if you run to first base and someone says, "Bah, you're terrible, no good, you can't make it to third," and you say, "Okay, well, I won't then," and you walk off the field, what happens? That home run is not validated. God is saying, just don't drop out. You keep going and touch all the bases as a mother, all the bases as a father, all the bases as a young man of God, a young woman of God. Don't miss any. Don't try to shortcut. What if someone went from first to third and home? Won't validate it. People listen. Do it just like God tells you to do. And he says, then I will take the responsibility to make sure that you'll be victorious in the end. Friendly fire will not frustrate the plan of God. Just don't drop out. It was in the Mexico Olympics that Bud Greenspan was videoing some of the sports for a sports network. And he was putting his cameras away when someone said, "Hey, Bud, you got to catch this." He said, "Well, what is it?" "The marathon." He said, "The marathon's been over for 45 minutes or so." He said, "No, there's one guy still coming in." He said, "What?" And sure enough, a lone figure coming into the stadium. His name was John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania. What had happened was he had run, and because of some slippage, he had tripped and fallen down into a ditch and sprained his ankle, cut up one of his legs. But he got back up after kind of nursing himself back a little bit and hobbled the rest of the way. And now he was coming into the stadium, hobbling, and every step wincing with great pain. And you can see some visible cuts on his leg. And the people who were left there, having remained for some reason or another, began to applaud him and began to cheer him on. Bud caught all of this on national television. Some of you may have even remember hearing about it or seeing it. And so he caught it. And when this man finally fell over the finish line, he quickly ran down with his camera and interviewed him and said, "Why didn't you stop? You're hurting yourself. You sprained your ankle. Why didn't you just stop and wait for the ambulance to pick you up?" John Stephen Akwari looked up and said, "You don't understand, do you? My country did not send me 5,000 miles to quit. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish." And the same is true with the Lord and you and me. God did not send us this far from heaven to drop out. He sent us to finish. And when you finish, you win. Friendly fire will not frustrate God's plan in your life. You say, but there are people that drop out. Because I've seen people say, "You know, if this is what Christianity is, I'll have nothing to do with it." Mm-hmm. Number two, would you write in your notes? But you must never define God's purposes by other people's performance. Never define God's purposes by other people's performance. It was in the scripture where Peter was being told by God how he was going to die. And then Peter turned around and saw John. And he said, Lord, what about John? What about him? Is he going to live longer than me? Is he going to have a better position than me? What about John? And the Lord said something really interesting. Would you read it with me in the scripture? John 21, verse 22. Ready? Go. And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow." Would you underline those three words? "You follow me." Don't worry about others and what they do. It comes back to you. How are you doing? I remember some years ago when that Jim Baker thing happened and that whole PTL club fell. And then there was also Jimmy Swaggart that moved in some immorality. And right before that, Jim Jones of Guyana. I thought during that time, if your name was Jim or James or Jimmy, you're in trouble already. I was sitting in a coffee shop and the Jim Baker thing came up, and a friend of mine just yelled over to the other side of the table, "Hey, Cordero," because he knew I was a pastor. He said, "Hey, is this the kind of religion you're a part of?" And laughed a little bit. And I thought, ouch. And then I thought, are you talking about that Jim Baker thing? Yeah, that Jim Baker thing. And I said to him, "You know what? I am so glad that the reputation of Christianity is not determined by the performance of a Jim Baker. I'm so glad the reputation of Christianity isn't determined by the performance of a Jimmy Swagger or Jim Jones. It's determined by the performance of one person, always has and always will be. His name is Jesus Christ. It always goes back to him. The rest of us are fallen creatures trying our best to follow him. And I said to him, what do you think about a Christianity that's based solely on the performance of Jesus Christ? What if you had that kind, you know? Christianity based on the performance of Jesus Christ alone. What would you think about that kind of Christianity? And he said, if it were based on him alone, I said, yeah. He said, that'd be a good one. That'd be good. I said, good, because that's what I invite you to. You see, if it were based on our performance, I wouldn't invite you to come. I wouldn't invite you to be a part of it. Because then if you came, you'd ruin it just as worse, just as bad as I would. But you see, when it's based on the person of Jesus Christ, then we can grow from glory to glory and we'll get better and better. But you say, but Wayne, how do you deal though with all of the disappointment of the abandonment and the betrayal? Because I know that friendly fire won't frustrate the plan of God for my life. And I know that other people's performance, I can't let it define God's purpose for my life. But how do you deal with the abandonment when you feel alone when those things happen? Would you write in number 3? Please always remember this, and it helped me so much, and I'll never forget it. And that is this: you and Jesus make a majority. Would you write that in? You and Jesus make a majority. You see, I say it this way. Sometimes I don't realize that Jesus is all I need until Jesus is all I got. And it weans me off of people and brings me back to the Lord. Let's read 1 John 4:4, which in the New American Standard, it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So the things of the world or evil or friendly fire, whatever barrages against you, is nowhere going to be as great as the Lord who lives within you. And you've got to be at home with the Lord. See, you'll never go home to an empty house because you and Jesus make a majority. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And you've got to be able to come home to that. And if coming home just means you and Jesus, it has to be okay. Because otherwise, you won't be weaned off of people. And if people leave you, you think, oh, there's nothing left in life. And the Lord's saying, woo, what about me? I'm still here. Let's read what it says in the Living Bible in 1 John 4:4. Ready? Go. You belong to God and have already won your fight with those who are against Christ. Because there is someone in your hearts who is stronger than any evil teacher in this wicked world. You see, the Lord says, you already won because I hit the home run. And you and I make a majority. You and I. I had to realize that when those two friends left abruptly. And I remember right after that, our worship leader that was so talented had left as well. And I felt so abandoned. And I remember the Lord, and I was just grumbling in prayer. And I remember so well God saying, Wayne, I'm still here. Woo! Hello. God says, I'm still here. I haven't left you. And I remember the Lord saying, Wayne, you can pick up your guitar and you can go back to the basics and lead worship with that. And I'll stand with you. It's okay because you and I make a majority. Every single one of us have to come back to that. That you and Jesus make a majority. Oh, it's wonderful when you have friends. But you see, that may not always be the case. And you have to be okay when it's you and Jesus. If you're not, you'll always be grasping for somebody, even if it's the wrong somebody. You'll compromise everything for the wrong thing, and you'll bail out. You and Jesus make a majority. And when you catch that, now the Lord can add things to your life, but you won't stick to them. You won't try to gain life from them. And the Lord is saying to you and to me, don't run your relationship with me through someone else's performance, whether it be a mom or a dad or a friend or an uncle or some other Christian. Don't run your relationship with God through someone else's performance. When their performance goes bad, then your relationship is pulled down. You're not tethered to God through somebody else. So when they fall, they take you with them. No. Every single one of our relationships have to be straight to the Lord, because you and Jesus make a majority.
You've just heard a message entitled Faith Under Friendly Fire by Dr. Wayne Cordero. This is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
When was the last time you were truly grateful for something? Not just saying thank you, but really meaning it. Show gratitude for the healthcare workers. Thank the friend or family member that has always been by your side. Be grateful for the many who sacrifice their time and energy to make our community a better place. And when you do, you'll help others remember that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.